Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Alan. It's great to have you with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is March the 7th. Our reading is in Mark chapter 13. Jesus says, "The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object, that's the Antichrist, that causes desecration standing where he should not be. He will be in the temple in Jerusalem. Reader, pay attention. Those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into a house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be that day for pregnant women or for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter, for there will be greater anguish in those days, that is during the tribulation, than at any time since God created the world. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the Lord shortens that time of calamity, not a single person will survive. But for the sake of his chosen ones, he has shortened those days. Then if anyone tells you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's elect. Watch out. I have warned you about this ahead of time. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that the summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or even the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard, stay alert." In this passage, Jesus is describing end times. So often today, people look at what's happening in our world and they ask me, "Is this the end? Do you think Jesus will return soon?" Well, let me point out a few things that Jesus says in this passage. Number one, he ends by saying nobody knows. He says the angels in heaven don't know. Even Jesus, the Son, doesn't know. Only the Father knows the day when Jesus is going to return, when these things will actually happen. So we have to talk about all this with a little humility, just recognizing that we don't know. We're listening to what Jesus is describing and trying to understand where we are in redemptive history. Here's some things that we do know. Jesus wins. We are going to heaven. All of this is temporary. And man, let's do all we can to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. Now, when you listen to Jesus describe the rise of the Antichrist, he says he'll stand in the temple. He'll be an abomination. He's actually going to declare himself God. All of this is going to be in the news. This person will create a peace treaty with Israel. It will be a 7-year peace treaty. And midway through that agreement, at the 3.5-year mark, he will declare himself to be God. This is during the tribulation. So things have been bad during the first 3.5 years. During the second 3.5 years, it's much worse. God pours out his wrath on the world. Now, here's the good news. I believe the church is already gone before this happens. When you think about judgment in the Old Testament, when God was going to flood the world, he had Noah build an ark and saved Noah and his family. He saved the righteous. When God visited Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin and the outcry of that city, Abraham began to negotiate with God. He said, will you kill the righteous and the unrighteous? And of course, God expresses his mercy and grace and says, no, if we find righteous people in that city, we will spare them. And of course, he spares Lot. And I think in the very same way, before the tribulation begins, before the rise of the Antichrist, God is going to rapture the church. The church will be taken out. The Antichrist will come on the scene. He'll broker this peace agreement with Israel. At the 3.5-year point, he'll declare himself to be God. The tribulations, the wrath of God will increase. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus returns and he takes home his saints. Now, who are those people? Well, those are people that get saved during the tribulation period. Those people will be rescued by Jesus. Jesus will defeat Satan and the Antichrist, and the beginning of his 1,000-year millennial reign on the earth will happen at that time. So that's kind of my take on end times. So when you look at what's happening with China and Taiwan or Russia and Ukraine or Iran and Israel and all these other hot spots around the world, how do they relate to world history? And how do they relate to redemptive history? Well, the truth is, we're speculating on a lot of that and trying to figure out and understand what God is doing. I do believe we should live with a sense of urgency. Now, Jesus has just said, nobody knows the time, but I believe it'll be in our lifetime. I believe we're at the very end, that Jesus could return, that the church could be taken home at any moment, which should, as believers, give us a sense of urgency about our mission. Let's do all we can to help people be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did so that when he returns, when he brings his church home, we will be caught up into the air. We will be raptured with him, and then we'll spend all eternity in paradise with the Lord. I'm reminded of John 14, where Jesus said, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If that were not true, I would have told you. And if I go, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is coming soon. Man, let's pray for his quick return. And for everybody in the world that doesn't know him, let's pray that God would open their hearts to the gospel. Jesus, thank you for the promise that you are coming again to receive your church. Lord, that we can live with you in paradise forever. God, I pray that you would help us to not be anxious, but to rest in your faithfulness, in your promises to us. Even when the world seems to be falling apart and there's so much uncertainty, so much chaos in our world, we don't have to fear. You are with us, and you're coming back to bring us home. God, we pray that you would come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I pray that it be today. And Lord, between now and then, God, give us a sense of urgency about our mission to tell our family and friends, the people we love, about Jesus, to invite them into relationship. God, we pray for those in our city and all around the world who don't know Jesus yet. Open their hearts to our witness and to your truth and to Jesus. Lord, we pray for a great revival in America and around the world. Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, man, it's so good to be with you again today. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.